It doesn't hurt us to hear messages from time to time that we're familiar with, because there are times when we need to be re-informed or reassured, or and to make sure that we understand these things. There's a passage here, and this is a passage that we're all familiar with, probably as types as we went to church. We heard John 3:16. And John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. But I want to talk a little bit about what the event that took place when Nicodemus came to Jesus that night. And so let's stand and honor the word of God. Starting with verse 1, and we'll read the first 6 or 7 verses. And it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth whither it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed event that took place so long ago. And yet, Lord, we get a picture in our mind as if it's going on right now. And Lord, we just ask you to speak through us and to us tonight. Lord, there are some things here that we need to remember. There are things that this world has messed up. And Lord, we just ask you to help reinforce those things that we need to know and need to be reminded of. Lord, help us to be the Christians you want us to be, armed and dangerous, taking the spoil from the devil's army, from his camp. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Let your Holy Spirit speak through me. Let the words not be my own, but yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As I mentioned a while ago, that young lady that I met on the bus, she was, it was interesting. I look for opportunities, but sometimes they find me. I'm not necessarily looking at all these people, but this young lady, she got on the bus. She has not ridden the bus in 6 years, and she gets on my last run of the night, and she's from Michigan, and she's down and out, and who's she get on the bus with but the preacher? And I told her, she said, well, I've been, it's funny, and she said it was strange because I keep running into people that want to tell me about Jesus. And I said, kind of sounds like that the Lord's putting the right kind of people in your path. And we talked, and what I want you to see is the fact that we all have opportunities to reach people. We all have those opportunities, but sometimes we're so occupied with life, with the struggles, with other passengers and all this. It was kind of strange because, once again, she got on my bus, and she was the only person on my bus. And I had 30 minutes on the bus and to talk to her. But I want you to look at this event that took place. This is different here in John chapter 3. This event is different than John chapter 4. Because what happened, it says there was a man of the Pharisees named Jesus, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that came to Jesus by night. Jesus did, you know the story about the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus, the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there was a woman he needed to go in. But this situation is different because God sent Nicodemus to him. How? How on earth could God do that? A lot of times we just don't, we underestimate how God works and how he weaves his will and puts people where they need to be. And you and I need to understand, hey, we need to be looking. I got to talking to this gal and I asked her, I said, have you ever been born again? Oh yeah, I've been baptized. I'm going to tell you, it is scary how many people are counting on their baptism to get them to heaven. Your baptism won't help you an ounce. You've got to get saved. And that's what I told her. Jesus here, and I want to go over these words because a lot of people say when they see in verse 5, it says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, they say born of water, that's baptism. A lot of people are teaching from a pulpit similar to this. They're teaching their people, all you got to do is come up and you get baptized and you're good to go. But don't you think Jesus could have said baptism? He didn't say baptism. Why? Because it's not baptism. You see, he's talking about being born again. Born again. Okay, 63 years, I'm not going to hide it. I don't want to hide it. 63 years ago, I was born of the water. You say, well, what are you talking about? Born of the water is simply the physical birth. When a baby comes out, the first thing that happens is the water breaks. The baby is inside mama's stomach, encased in water, protected in water. The water protects her from protects the baby from being bounced and banged. Also, it keeps the baby warm, keeping them from getting cold. And there's a lot of comfort there being in the mother's womb. But when that baby's born, first thing there, everything's changed. You know how you cry sometimes and I cry sometimes when things change? We get upset. We don't like change. Good grief. Imagine a baby never experienced anything like this before. But the first birth has to do with the physical birth. That's why Jesus says there, look at verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus didn't. He was a ruler. He was one of the Sanhedrin, and he didn't know what Jesus was talking about. Now, I can honestly, I truly believe that Nicodemus had some things on his mind that he was coming to Jesus for. He was going to ask him some questions, probably deep theological questions. But Jesus didn't let him get that far. Why? Because Jesus knew what Nicodemus needed. Sometimes you and I, we get to talking to people, and we don't talk to them about what they really need. We talk to them about the weather, or we talk to them about the current events, or how tragic this car wreck was, or how awful it is for this parent to leave the child in the car and the car overheat and the baby die and all these things. This woman that threw the four-year-old in the river and drowned her own daughter. Those things are wicked and vile. But the most important thing we need to be talking to people about is their greatest need. And that's Jesus. Because if you convince them of
becoming an independent Baptist. Now, to be a member of this church, you're supposed to be saved. You're going to tell me you've been saved, and you're going to have to be baptized in a Baptist church. But if you can convince them, but the truth is, if they're not saved, if they get baptized, it's not going to help them if they're not saved. I was baptized as an 8-year-old boy. Walked the aisle at my Baptist church. But I didn't get saved for almost 20 years. Why? I did it from here, not from here. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness.
Nicodemus had a need, and he had something going on, and what you and I need to realize is that there are people around us that think their baptism is going to get them to heaven. There are people that think their good works are going to get them to heaven. There are people that think that just being a member of this church is going to get them to heaven. When we were at the college, I was a student there, I think. Miss Nishoni and Brother Matthew probably would remember, but when we first got into the Presbyterian Church building, we were actually time sharing. We were using it during the week, and they would use it on Sundays because we were in the process of buying the Presbyterian Church. Landmark was going to buy the Presbyterian Church for the college. And when we first started going in there, they had all these new members, a list up here, a big bulletin board of new members. And I remember one of the professors, his wife mentioned to him, said, well, they must be doing something right to have all these new members. And he turned to her and he said, those are babies that have just been sprinkled, the men baptized. They're supposed to be members, and that's how you join a Presbyterian church, by the way, and several other Protestant churches. And the deception is, you're a member, so you ought to be all right. You've been sprinkled or baptized, or they had that silly little, I don't know what they call it, it looked like a birth bath on the platform. And that's what they sprinkled the kids with. I want to tell you something. We had more fun with that than a little bit.
But that's not baptism. Why on earth would John and be baptizing at the River Jordan and Jesus go into the river with him if all he's got to do is flick water on him? See, baptism isn't baptism, even if you immerse.
If you're not saved, my old preacher used to say, he said, they can baptize you
so many times that the tadpoles know your social security number and still not going to help you. And that's true. Nicodemus, he was going to Jesus and he was going to ask him some questions, but guess what? Jesus saw the real need. And I guess the one thing I want to get across tonight, it scared me when I was talking to Sarah on the bus that I almost didn't lead her to Christ. I gave her a copy of our John and Romans. I gave her a couple of tracts. I gave her a good gospel witness. But when it come time to get off the bus, I could see that she didn't want to get off the bus. She wanted to know more. And the best thing for me to do at that point, I don't have a phone number. I don't have an address. The way I understand it, she's homeless. But she's got a home in heaven now. But the truth is, I almost walked off and said goodbye without giving her a chance to get saved. And it scares me that I might have. Because she might not have ever got saved. But she was ready. The Holy Spirit had worked on her. Now you say, why are you spending all this time on something we already know? Hey,
It's what this church is all about. It's what this world needs. And we can't, I know sometimes I mention it just about in every message, one way or another. But the truth is, we need to realize that there are a lot of people that are messed up about this one simple concept. Because if they don't have this right, if they think baptism and born again is the same thing, a lot of them are going to go to hell because they don't know the difference. Well, can you imagine them standing there and talking to the Lord and at the judgment and saying, "Lord, Lord, now I was baptized." "Yeah, but were you born again?" "Well, my pastor told me that's what it was, born again, baptism, right?" And he's going to say, "Depart from me." Why?
It's simple English. You can't be born again until you're born. Born again means you're born the second time. And it's not a physical birth. The first birth has to be physical. You cannot be born again unless you're born. But that second birth is a spiritual birth. It's a spiritual adoption where you join the family of God. And you cannot twist it any other way. I had Church of Christ. We were knocking doors. And I ran into Church of Christ people there. And I have to admire them for knocking doors, even though they're doing it the wrong way with the wrong gospel. But I told him, he said something to me about getting people baptized. I said, "Well, I want to get them saved, then we'll get them baptized." He said, "Well, you got to get them baptized or you can't get them saved." I said, "Oh, you don't know." And he got to laughing because he said, "You're a Baptist and you don't believe in baptism." And the truth is, they don't know what baptism is either. We know that it has nothing to do with salvation. But what if, and Sarah's background was Lutheran. And what if she never got on the bus? There are going to be people in our path, people we work with, people we run across at the grocery store, people we live next door to, family members. And they're going to be deceived unless we tell them the truth. Why? Who's going to tell them if you don't? Maybe they don't meet me. You see, Nicodemus, he was a religious man. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a picture of a lot of the religious people today. A lot of the religious people today, they're not telling people how to get saved. I run into them all the time, church after church. It doesn't matter. Some of them Baptists, some of them Methodists, some of them Nazarene, doesn't matter. Church of Christ, hey, they're not telling them how to get saved. So how on earth are they going to get saved? It's up to us. It's up to us.
We've got people on our prayer list that we pray for getting saved and we want them to get saved, but we ought to be getting some addresses and mail tracts to them. There was a time when I would get survivors out of the obituary and I would see if I could find their address and mail tracts to them. I've sent tracts to my family members, made a bunch of them mad. But the truth is, I'd rather make them mad on this side than for them to be mad at me on the other side because I never told them. Nicodemus was a wise man. He knew the scriptures, but he didn't know how to be saved. He didn't know how to get to heaven. But the one thing I like about him,
He knew where to go to find how to get saved. He went to the right person. He went to Jesus. But what do you do when you got somebody that comes to you? How do you approach them? Well, what I told this young lady, I told her, I said, I asked her about her soul. And I said, Jesus is the one that paid the price on the cross. And you're precious to him. And I told her, I said, Jesus loves you enough that he would have died just for you if you were the only one that needed to go to heaven, needed to be saved. I said, it's going to break his heart if you don't make it. You don't get to heaven. And we need to look at people, no matter who we are, where we are. We get caught up, and we've got the same problems. Gary and I were talking about it earlier. We've got the same problem with the flesh that everybody else has got. We see people and we poke fun at them. We laugh at them. They look at those ears and look at that nose and look at this, that, and other. And we have a tendency to do that. But what about their soul? Are they going to go to hell because God brought them our way and we didn't take time to tell them or to even pass the track to them? Maybe.
I know I'm preaching to the choir. This is a Wednesday night crowd, and I know that we all understand the importance of soul winning. But sometimes, maybe you do. I know I do a lot of times. I need a good swift kick in the pants every once in a while, a jump start. And I got one 2 hours after fighting with the devil, a demon-possessed man, and my mind was still stirred up over that. I was distracted to start with. The devil tried to distract me from leading Sarah to Christ. I could almost tell you that the devils of hell were probably telling her, oh, you need to, don't worry about getting the bus tonight. And they were talking among themselves, that crazy preacher's on there. And he might even share Jesus with her. We can't have that. Hey, that's what goes on behind the scenes. That's the way the devil works. But somehow or other, the Holy Spirit nudged her to get on my bus. And what happened? Well, there was a guy sitting right up front. A lot of times people come up to get on the bus, and I'm sitting on the left-hand side in the corner, and they get on this side, and there's a seat right here that lined up. But the seat right here is prime spot. Number one, you can see real good. But number two, you can also talk to the driver. Well, as soon as had a man get off here, and Sarah was the only other person on the bus. This man got off the bus. She comes up to the front seat. The Lord's orchestrating everything. She wanted to talk. And she needed Jesus. And just like Nicodemus, hey, she thought she was okay. Nicodemus thought he was okay. But guess what? Nicodemus got saved. And praise God, so did Sarah. And praise God, we're going to see more people get saved. Why? We've got what the world needs. The world needs our Jesus. They don't need, I'm not saying we shouldn't help people with food. I'm not saying we shouldn't help people with benevolence things from time to time, clothes or whatever we can do to help people. But the one thing we cannot afford to hold back is Jesus. That's what the church is all about. If we don't give out Jesus, if we don't tell people how to get to heaven, we might as well just sell the building and close the doors, find another
place to meet for another reason, because we're not a church. Anytime a church loses sight of winning souls, whether it's missions, and I think missions is important too, but we can't very well expect the Lord to help us help missionaries if we're not going to reach people in our own backyard. It's, what does it say? In Bartow, Polk County, America, and around the world. That's our Jerusalem. The whole world is our Jerusalem.
You say, preacher, you preach too much on soul winning. Maybe so. I don't know that. Maybe I'm trying to make up for all the preachers that don't. Amen. But the truth is, I don't want us to lose sight of what we're all about. And like I said, it scared me a little bit thinking about Sarah and thinking about how close I came to her getting off the bus and not giving her a chance to receive Christ right there. And she said, that's what I need. With tears in her eyes, she's praying. I want to tell you, I wore my...
Some people don't necessarily like my tie. It's got a retriever with a dead duck in his mouth. But the reason I wore the tie tonight, because I just want y'all to remind... I want to remind you that all I want to be is a retriever for Jesus. Now, I'm not going to bring dead ducks. I want to bring live people, bring souls to Jesus. But this tie helps me remember what it's all about. And we've got people. We're going to bring people in. We're constantly getting phone calls and all. But we're not going to lose sight.
Absolutely not going to lose sight of the main thing. And that's preaching Jesus and trying to get people saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, what a blessing it is to see someone changed over from on their way to the lake of fire to become a child of God on their way to heaven. Lord, I want us to be known as a soul-winning church. I want people to know that they can come here and hear the gospel and get saved. If nobody else can provide the gospel, Lord, help us never, ever, ever lose sight about what we're doing, what we're here for. Lord, we're here to win souls for you while there's yet time. We want to train them up to reach others for Jesus and reach others for Jesus while there's yet time. Lord, move the invitation, and Lord, keep our hearts broken for souls. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed as we stand to our feet.